This WPRO podcast is sponsored by Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses. The following program has been paid for by Changing Gears. It is for entertainment and basic informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not reflect the views of Cumulus Media, WPRO, its management, or its staff. It's time for Changing Gears on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM, WPRO. Your weekly look at trucking, business, and politics. Rhode Island, are you ready for change? Here are your hosts, Mike Collins and Chris Maxwell.
Yeah, I'm the nationwide villain of the DOT. That's what I'm talking
about. And before we begin, I just wanted to tell you I was remiss, and I appreciate you refunding some of your time.
Oh, we'll get it back from you, buddy. Trust me.
Absolutely. Go Army, sink Navy. You got that, Kasim? Go Army, sink Navy. Thank you, guys. Have a great show.
Thank you, Colonel. Tyler, take it away.
Baby, can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you drop
so
in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like ice.
My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your
My
hurry?
My father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
So really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't
well,
hurry.
Well, maybe just a half a drink more.
Put some records on while I pour.
The neighbors might
But maybe it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this
no
drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like stars right now.
To break this spell.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks swell.
I ought to say no, no, no,
Mind
sir.
If I move in closer?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't
Oh, baby,
stay.
Don't hold out, baby.
Oh, but it's cold outside.
We're here.
Governor, what was your reaction to the RICAST scores? Were you disappointed, and do you think that you need to do anything differently going forward?
Yes, it That's is okay. disappointing. Look, it is disappointing.
We're all good.
Have to keep on the path that we're on and do more. You know, we've invested in all-day kindergarten and pre-K and more vocational training, and it's yet again a wake-up call that we're not where we need to be. This is the first year we implemented the test. We knew the scores, you know, anytime any state implements a new test, the scores are you know, lower than you'd like them to be, but it's a baseline, it's a wake-up call, and we have to double down our efforts to make sure our kids get the education they deserve.
Is there going to be any change in state leadership or policies after these scores came
We're
out?
We're sitting down, everything's on the table, and I'm going to evaluate everything.
Why do you think that they were disappointing, as a lot of, as you seem to be saying?
There's no one reason. There's no one reason. There, you know, there is some. There is some good news in there. You know, for example, a couple of years ago, I made big investments in pre-K and all-day K, and the third grade scores were among the best. You know, the third grade scores and results were better than the high schoolers. So there is a lot of good that's happening.
You know, in other words,
you know,
don't blame me, because my kindergartners who are now third graders under my plan are doing just fine. So, you know, we're disappointed, but don't blame me because it's not my problem. Wouldn't you think after 52% vote, at a comfort level after 4 years as governor, being reelected to what is going to turn out to be probably a, you know, 20 to 30 year run in politics, because that's what's going to happen after what happened, she might be a kinder, more embracing, responsible, transparent governor. Like, yeah,
Absolutely not.
It's not my problem.
Nothing's ever her problem.
You know?
And she's going to be on top of it.
Disappointing.
Well, how's she going to be on top of it? Because she just got the big job with the DNC,
yep,
which is going to put her out of town.
Yep.
And you know what? She's probably going to line herself up and set her sights up for a VP run in 2022.
So,
good luck to the
you
country.
Know, she didn't take responsibility with UHIP, left our most coldest and vulnerable out in the cold, and that's still a situation that's brewing. We've heard about the boys' training school. We've had Joe Cardin in several times, and now we have our school children. But it's not the governor's problem, because my kids, the third graders who went into kindergarten full day under my plan, are doing just fine. So don't blame me. Nanny, nanny, poo-poo.
No. You know, what the hell? It's all free.
It's all free.
Free tuition, free pre-college. They're all failing. The college is not doing well with the scores. You know, not much is going on. And then she sits back and plays, not my problem.
So we'll talk about this education issue. It's the big issue this week. I thought it kind of vile that on Thursday, on Monday of last week, the 26th, you had Dominic Ruggiero and the firewall, Nicky Mattiello, placing ceremonial bets at Twin River.
Yep.
And then test scores, the report came in Thursday, the 29th, the same week that we're in the toilet on the test scores. I think there's a vile hypocrisy here. You know, you go back to, and I cite an article back in March of 2012, Rhode Island State Senator Harold Metz says voters were promised money from the Rhode Island Lottery would be used for education. That's going back to the 70s when the lottery was imposed, and that was a promise that was made. And that was cited.
Let me interrupt. That wasn't a promise. That was a condition.
Condition.
Of the lottery, okay? It was supposed to be going for education. You drive down through Florida.
Yep.
And you look up at the side of the Florida Turnpike on the Florida 95, and it says, yet to this date, Powerball has contributed X amount of dollars towards education.
Right.
You don't see that in Rhode Island.
So this irony, hypocrisy, whatever you want to call it, is that you have the ceremonial bet on sports gambling in the same week that the education is in the toilet, and now we've got yet another similar revenue stream to the lottery, which is now sports gambling, and there will be no responsibility. No, they will piss this away. We established I can't say piss on the air.
Well, yeah, you can.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Okay, I give you permission.
Night. Thank
I give
you
permission.
Very much.
Yeah, you can't. The seven sins of George Carlin.
Okay,
that's you're gonna.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll
by the way, our friend has been holding for us. So
okay,
with
so
that, teeing him up a little bit. Our friend Justin Katz, from the Ocean State Current, and just an all-around knowledgeable guy, good guy. Wants to talk a little bit about the education here in Rhode Island. Hey, Justin, welcome to the show.
Justin, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the Hot Mic.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
No problem, buddy.
Give us your perspective on, you know, everything doesn't fall at the feet of the governor, but there's some quotes that have been put out there by the likes of a pretty established, respected guy. Gary Sass, quote, there is a direct correlation between educational improvement and gubernatorial leadership. You know, those things are, you know, there's a point where 4 years into her tenure, the governor, instead of saying it's not my problem, which I think pretty much is what she said, my kids are performing fine. She has to start taking ownership. And that, to me, is a glaring implication of her. Your thoughts, Justin?
Well, I think Gary Sass is actually absolutely correct that you can trace educational progress to specific governors. I've been following for about 8-9 years the National Assessment of Educational Progress. That's the NAEP test that's given throughout the country. It's called the Nation's Report Card, so you can compare across state borders, see how states are doing. Naturally, Massachusetts is number one in the country on this list, as everybody's used to hearing. But you can really trace. If you go back to when they first started the test during the George Bush era, that's W, 43, the test was implemented, and right away, right off the bat, Rhode Island was below the average state, significantly worse than every other New England state. And Governor Kercheri at the time, for whom Gary Sass worked, brought in what you might call a reformist educational board. It included Judge Flanders, Angus Davis was another prominent person on there, really fighting to reform education in the way Massachusetts has. And next they hired Deborah Gist as the education commissioner. And you can actually trace on the NAEP test, Rhode Island caught up and surpassed, if you average all the tests, surpassed the average state and was almost to the pack of New England. Then the teachers unions helped elect Lincoln Chafee, and he essentially pulled back on the chain of Deborah Gist and stopped a lot of the reforms, you know, requirements for testing to graduate, evaluations for teachers. And you can see almost immediately in 2011, our scores stopped improving. And now under Deborah Gist with Ken Wagner as her education commissioner, we've actually started losing ground and we're back below the average state. And we're losing ground on New England across the board.
There's a quote, something I found, Bob Walsh, National Education Association of Rhode Island, said that Raimondo was helpful in replacing Gist. Your thought there? Was Deb Gist getting the job done? There's an interesting article this morning in Go Local where Mr. Steinberg says that every time there's a new administration, there's a new commissioner, there's new leadership in the legislation, we change direction. So You're saying that maybe we had the right person making tough decisions with Deb Gist, who went off to Oklahoma, perhaps for a better opportunity, or perhaps just out of frustration, and maybe the governor, as the governor's done in other cases, has just decided her person's better, and we were in a good place with Deb Gist. Your thoughts?
Well, I think that there are reforms. I didn't necessarily agree with all of Deborah Gist's reforms.
Okay.
I call them fix the system reforms, where you try to tweak this, put a little pressure here. I'm for school choice. Let the school departments know that they have to battle for students and give families value for the taxpayers' dollars. Then you'll get real reform. But it was working under Deborah Gist. We were making progress. The schools were starting to understand that the unions and the administrators were starting to understand you couldn't keep playing this game. You had to show results. That's why they got upset and booted her, and our progress stopped. So I think there was a political ceiling on that kind of reform. So I don't know that any other reformer would have done any better than Deborah Gist in doing that. But it was definitely when Link Chafee came in, he wiped out, he took Flanders and Angus Davis and others off that reformist education board, filled it with union sympathizers. And if you look at Ken Wagner, with these terrible results we had on the Rhode Island CAS, which is comparable to the Massachusetts MCAS test, he blamed everybody. Ken Wagner, our education commissioner, he blamed Rhode Islanders for their culture of thinking this is good enough and not wanting to push any harder. He blamed everybody except the teachers' unions, who are the single greatest impediment here, because our system is not geared toward student success. It's geared toward putting more money and political power in the hands of adults.
Justin, you got to stay with us a minute. You got to stay with us, buddy. I got to run out to a quick break. I'm missing my time stop here. Just stay with us. Hang with us, please.
All right. Got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you drop
so
in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like ice.
My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your
My
hurry?
My father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
So really, I'd better.
If you've been putting off getting a hair restoration, listen up. This is what you've been waiting for. DiStefano Hair Restoration Center's individual graft technique, or IGT, is a highly advanced, scar-free procedure that moves your own hair one follicle at a time without the use of scalpels or stitches, giving you a denser, a more natural look. DiStefano Hair Restoration Center is the only practice in New England that performs this unique IGT procedure. In fact, doctors fly in from around the world to observe their techniques. Call now for your free IGT consultation. Financing is available with payments as low as $119 a month. IGT is suitable for all hairstyles. It's less invasive with no scalpels, no stitches, no pain, and no visible scarring. So you can be back to work the next day. Plus, it's affordable on just about any budget.
Call 1-800-898-HAIR to learn more. That's 1-800-898-HAIR. Call 1-800-898-HAIR or visit checkout IGT.com for details.
Now, back to Changing Gears on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM, WPRO. Your weekly look at trucking, business, and politics. Call Mike and Chris now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Collins and Chris Maxwell.
All right, folks, we are back. Chris Maxwell along with Mike Collins. Joining us is Justin Katz of the Ocean State Current. We're doing a little overview of the recent report on the Ocean State's students and the subpar performance, and just trying to get a perspective on maybe what the root cause of this. Justin, welcome back. Where are we? Let's talk about Mr. Wagner. You did indicate, kind of much like I led the show with, on the governor, not really my problem, and I really took that from her brief comment. What was a week later after this came out, really kind of a lackluster, you know, bah humbug, no big deal type response. But the situation with Mr. Wagner, where did he come from? Is he the guy? I heard this week from a gentleman that I have great personal and professional respect for, Greg Amore, who's a teacher. Greg was the only one to introduce school security bill. He's a good guy. He's a teacher. Obviously, he has a perspective. He said, we're not the worst, we're not the best, but we're improving and we're right about in the middle. Does Wagner have us pointed in some sort of decent direction, or
are they all kind of providing cover for each other?
I think they're providing cover. The post I put up on the Ocean State Current when the results came out said that Ken Wagner is going to fail our students, and I believe that's the case. There's no indication that anybody has any concept of what needs to happen to change the incentives in our education system to so that we get more value for a dollar and get students performing better. We're going to cover it up. We're going to get rid of. We've gotten rid of things like a hard test at graduation in order to graduate, and instead we have. You can do some projects and subjective kind of stuff. Most of our teachers aren't being evaluated. They don't need to be. There's a constant threat against charter schools, which are one of the few remaining points of the old reform that has now been wiped out. And I don't see any grounds for improvement. And this is going to take – it'll take another 5 to 10 years for the test results to really start to get to where they have to address them.
Yeah, to talk about that, there's a 10-year plan they're talking about, and that was what Mr. Steinberg of Rhode Island Foundation talked about, the 10-year plan that's in place. I mean, how many 10-year plans are we going to have, and how many administrations? We know for a fact Gina Raimondo will be long gone, either it's in 4 years or 4 months or 4 minutes. She's never going to own this. And clearly, Mr. Wagner, like most of these people in our administration, have their sights set somewhere else. So are we going to just keep kicking the can down the road, or is this 10-year plan that's in place legitimate?
Now, this is the practice. When Deborah Kiss came in, the test was the NECAP, New England Common Assessment Program, and that we were finally getting to the point where you could trace a student from first grade to high school, and it wasn't a good outlook. I mean, it was improving from what it had been, but it still wasn't good. They changed the test. Now PARC. Then it was the Obama test, the PARC test. Now there's this RICAS. So they'll just keep changing the test. You get these 10-year programs, and if you look at who is sitting on this board from Rhode Island Foundation, who, by the way, has no authority over our schools, they can only offer suggestions.
Right. That's what this was. This was a respected person that was giving a perspective, and I just used that because he had some insight as far as what I think was correct, that these political rollovers that happen are obviously adversely affecting our children because we don't have any sustainability here.
Right, and if you look at the people who the Rhode Island Foundation turned to, it's the Chambers of Commerce, it's the school committee people, it's the municipal lobbyists, it's the labor unions, it's all people who have some kind of sinecure to protect. Their education plan, what comes first is protecting the power of the special interests in the state, not the interests of the students. And that's what's going to keep happening is Rhode Island has a very high rate of families that use private schools because you can go to a parochial school for not a whole lot of money and you get the same parochial education you get in any state, and that's above every public school system in the country, in every state. So you can still get that if you can scrape together $5,000 to $10,000 a year. And that's what people will keep doing that, or they'll keep leaving the state. And meanwhile, they'll keep rolling out these reforms. There's no reason.
So the people that have the ability to change are going to shrug because their kids are pretty well insulated from this.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it just makes sense on an individual family's
sure. Absolutely.
Look, we can find that 10 grand per year to put our child through private schools. So, the battle is just so intimidating and huge to actually get real change. I mean, if you look at a cynical view is that the teachers' unions actually elected two governors, one at least, to stop education reform. And that was a small step-by-step slow reform that was going on, and that was too much. So if you're an individual and a head of a household and you're looking at your family situation, you're not going to wait 10 years. That's your student's entire elementary and secondary education right there. You're going to just pull the child out, and then you don't really have the incentive to keep on the state. And that's why the special interests are able to do this. What I would have expected, I would have thought there was a hope for change if the day after these RICAS results came out, there were parents literally at the state house banging on the door. I don't know if you saw a video when Justice Kavanaugh was passed on to the Supreme Court. There were actually left-wingers
outrage
banging on the door of the Supreme Court. If we saw that at the state house with parents saying, this is too much, you've got to stop, then, we might see some change. But it's just such a huge burden to carry, and it's so hard to get that message through. Now, the one area of hope was in Florida. Some people are arguing that the Republican governor actually was put over the top to win the election because of minority moms whose kids are in charter schools down there. Now, if we start getting that where some of the constituents of the Democrat Party start saying they're really not serving me and move over and start actually creating political competition, we might start to see some change. But that's a 10-year horizon to start seeing that, I would say. So in the near term, it's just more of the same, unless people get really, really angry, which I just don't see them doing.
Where do you think the teachers stand?
Well,
they're handcuffed. I mean, listen, my full disclosure, my parents are both teachers. Teachers have especially in this day and age, a tremendous burden, a tremendous responsibility. Like most, 95%+ are absolutely, gifted people that have chosen that calling and are great people. But where, Mike, your thoughts? You were about to say something.
No, I'm just sitting back and saying, well, you know what? The education starts with the teachers.
Right. Where do they feel? But
you got all the testing you want. If the teachers aren't educating these kids correctly, all right, and they're setting the bar, and the bar is too low or the standard's too low, this is part of your failure.
But are the teachers being allowed to?
Well, I don't know. And that's Justin's done. Justin, yeah. I don't know.
What are your thoughts there?
Well, I think if you think organizationally, a bad system with bad incentives will drag down even the best employees.
Absolutely.
So you're seeing this teacher next door with the tenure who has her feet up on the desk, handing out photocopied sheets for the kids to do. But she keeps going. And you're here, a young teacher. I remember, what was it, 8 to 12 years ago, I think it was in Middletown, there was a teacher who was nominated for at least at the state level, maybe at the national level, teacher of the year. Uh-huh. The next year she was laid off because she didn't have tenure. I mean, when that's your system, you're not going to get the most out of your teachers. And I do have sympathy. A lot of the argument on the other side is all this testing. You're just teaching to the test. It's not really teaching the whole student. And I agree with that, but we have to have accountability of some kind, because without the accountability, people will just go through the motions, and even the best teachers will fade over time when they're seeing that, the labor unions are actually mostly support the kids, the teachers who are most in need of the extra help. If you're a great
Absolutely.
Teacher who any district would want, there's going to be competition for you, but they're all stuck at the same pay grade, no matter what they teach or how well they do. And it's just not a good system. And so that's what really fundamentally needs to be changed. I don't know how they teach math, the fancy new stuff they do that parents don't understand. I don't know if that's best or not, but what I can say is the incentives created in the system have to change, and that has to mean changing the way we can hire teachers, fire teachers, pay them, pay different amounts here, experiment there. And that for that, you really need something to shake up the system a whole lot. So I have a lot of sympathy.
Yeah, as you said, though, if the powers that be insulated from it, they will, unfortunately, they will not hear the sirens, and unfortunately, we will kick the can down the road.
There are a lot of very dedicated teachers here. All right?
Buddy, I just said it.
I wanted Justin to hold on when we come back after the break, because yeah. I think this is a whole circle. All right, and the family involvement with education is key to this whole thing too.
Yep. Justin, I'd love to hear from some teachers too. Love to hear from some teachers.
Evening has been hoping that you drop
so
in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands; they're just like ice.
My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your
My
hurry?
Father will be.
This segment of Changing Gears is brought to you by Sinclair Risk. Properly insuring trucks is beyond the capabilities of most agencies. But John Bielek and the Sinclair team get you the proper lines of coverage and stay in it with you to keep you insured and reduce your rates. Full service and full throttle insurance strategies for measurable results. Call John today at 401-714-9048. Sinclair Risk.
These are busy times at Ocean State Job Lot, with Christmas and winter upon us. And many of our customers know that they can get high-quality items at low prices. Plus, we have an enormous assortment of insider crazy deals. And with many of these items, you'll get your money back in the form of a crazy deal gift card. Where else can you shop for free? Check out our flyer. You can buy Rayovac batteries and get your money back in the form of a crazy deal gift card. Pasta sauce, ice skates, kitchen knives, fashion belts, fancy bar stools, and many more items that that you can purchase and get 100% of your money back in the form of a Crazy Deal gift card. And this is the time of year that we invite you to partner with us to help those in need. Our Choose Give Get program allows you to select one of eight major causes to support, such as military veterans and homeless, animal welfare, and more. Make a $50 donation or larger, and Ocean State Job Lot will match your donation with Crazy Deal gift cards up to the first $1 million donated. Together, we can help many of those in need this holiday season.
Now, back to Changing Gears on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO. Your weekly look at trucking, business, and politics. Call Mike and Chris now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Collins and Chris Maxwell.
Sue from Warwick, stay with us, please. So, Justin, you're back with us?
Yes, he is.
Yep.
So, you know, where I was going prior to the break is, you know, there are a lot of very good school teachers, a lot of very dedicated individuals. But there's a discerning point, I think, and especially this new generation, the family doesn't get involved. When we were kids, there were sit-down times to do homework. There were sit-down times. There was follow-through. People would correct our homework, stuff like that. I have friends of mine that are teachers that, Jesus, they send home a letter to the mother. All of a sudden, the mother's coming with a baseball bat and wants to kill her. You know, and, you know, not literally, but you know what I mean, figuratively, you know, and how dare you pick on my kid? And they're only trying to reach out and help. So I think it gets to a certain point that, you know, people sit back and say, you know, why should I bother? You know, and go ahead. I'm sorry.
Family involvement is certainly a very important thing. My wife's a teacher and had that same kind of experience with parents who, if you send home a note or you say that you discipline a child. It used to be when I was a kid, it was your fault, no matter whether
absolutely
it was right or wrong.
Absolutely.
You went in and you apologized.
What did you do?
I taught at the school in Paterson, New Jersey, that they made that movie Lean on Me, where they bashed the teachers' heads and the kids were out of control. So I do have a lot of sympathy for that environment. But that what that means is we have to change the have a differentiation in how we do have education. If what the students are missing is something that their parents aren't providing, the school maybe needs to get involved with that. And I've actually had this conversation with John Ward, who was just reelected to the city council in Woonsocket. That's part of what he thinks that needs to be done in education is more involvement of the schools. One of the problems there, though, is it's always additive. It's always we need more money to do this. And in Rhode Island, we're already overtaxed. And as you guys know, putting in truck tolls, they're always looking for more money. So what we need to be able to do is loosen up the system so that different schools can adjust and parents can choose the schools that best suit their children's needs. And everybody can find their place with the same.
Well, that's integral right down to what's going on in Providence. I mean, we're still mandatory busing in Providence. When we got kids that are very competently, like up in Elmhurst, could they go to Kennedy School and being bussed across the city to South Providence to create some form of equal balance that doesn't need to exist any longer. And with that being said, Kennedy's a very good elementary school. And I mean, so you're right. Parents should have the opportunity to choose, just like if they can choose to put the children to a charter school. You know, but all in all, I mean, the system obviously is broken. And it's not just one town. It's broken throughout the state. I think it's going to be cooperative between parents, educators, and administration. And maybe, Justin, and you hit it on a good point, maybe there needs to be some form of incentive-driven bonus. Mm-hmm. All right? You know, instead of giving out the golden apple, give the gold out.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, listen, you're talking about money. I have a novel idea. Let's use some sports betting money for schools. How about that?
Oh, no, you can't. We're going to use that. Justin, stay with us. All right? We got Sue from Warwick who's been patiently holding.
Sue, welcome to the hot mic.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
You have speakerphone. Okay, listen, I called in during the week, too. You guys were discussing the school system in Rhode Island. I really feel that the school system in Rhode Island, as a grandparent that had children and now grandchildren in there, it has gone downhill so sadly that I'm looking now to put my grandkids in Catholic school. And I'm trying to get people together, parents together, to sign some kind of a paper to get us vouchers, to get our kids out of the public school system and into a private school or a better school, because we don't have any recourse. We don't have anybody we can trust to. I've been to superintendents complaining And all they say is, this is the system. There's nothing we can do. Our hands are tied.
Well, that's exactly what we're talking about here. And with Justin, who's on the other line, the system is broken. Now
children that are there now. We need something now. I mean, parents don't have the money to send their kids to Catholic schools and pay for their homes and pay their taxes.
Which go to schools.
Sure. Their kids to the schools.
Well, I'm trying not to be hypocritical because I don't have any children, so I can imagine what these parents have gone through.
And full disclosure, I have one in Catholic school, and I have one at one of the top schools in the state.
You
so
do.
I'm pretty fortunate.
Yeah, you live in a top district, I guess, so your kid goes there, great. And then another one's in the Catholic school. We don't have that.
That's right. Yeah.
No, I wholeheartedly agree with you. And like I said, if... Sue, do you have a direct question for Justin?
When is there ever going to be anything on the table for vouchers for us people? Anything for us.
So thanks for calling. We're going to make Justin heard that, and we're going to get him back on
the
air with us.
Thank you for calling, Sue. Good perspective.
So Justin, Susan was talking about voucher systems, of getting these people. And, it's funny, if I may for a second. The towns clearly come out and state that it costs anywhere from $8,500 to $11,000 to educate a student per year. That's what they claim. If that isn't true, the fact, then why can't they give an $8,500 voucher and let these people take their kids and bring them to a private school? You on board with that?
Absolutely. And a few years ago, with the Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity, for whom I'm research director, we actually were promoting legislation for vouchers or voucher-like systems. And we worked with national economists and economists at Providence College to come up with a model to see how that kind of policy might work. And you don't have to give the full tuition to a private school. If you give portions of it and you give poorer families more bigger portions of it, what you do is you start to change the behavior and you change the way the public schools behave, and you change the way the private schools can fund their teachers and pay them more, so the system starts to equalize and you get real competition, and it works out best for everybody involved. People find the schools where they're going to perform. If they're already performing in public school, then they don't go to private school. That's just not how it works. But if they need something different, then they'll do that, and the private schools will compete and adjust.
Well,
and
the irony, let me interrupt you for a second.
Go ahead.
The irony of the whole thing here is that And by the way, I'm not bashing school teachers, so please don't anyone take this the wrong way.
I don't think anybody is.
The irony of the whole thing here is the parochial school teachers make less money than the public school teachers, but the kids are getting a better education.
Yeah, absolutely, because they're mission-driven, and the schools have to adjust. I mean, my children go to parochial schools, and if I have a problem, I can call them and say, look, this isn't what I'm putting my children here for, and they adjust. If you have that same kind of situation in the public school, and I know families that go through this, they say, well, what can we do? This is the way it is, and that's how it's going to be.
So,
if you want, you can move or go to a private school.
So I'm going to interrupt you again. I have a problem with that because I know my brother's brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws were lifelong educators, dedicated teachers to the ninth degree. They were the type of people that spend the time after school with you till you learned it, okay?
And there are still those, although some of those still are. Unfortunately, some of those are probably on the outs because
you get banned. You're not supposed to do that because God forbid you went to you. But my point is, we've got an issue here with the administration coming down. If it's like the captain of a ship. I mean, if you got wrong way Feldman at the helm, we're never getting to the destination, right? I mean, it's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
If an airline pilot doesn't know how to navigate, we're not getting anywhere. So when you put a guy in charge, a principal or whatever, he's the captain of the ship at that school. So he's responsible who works underneath them, and the teachers work under him, whether it's science, math, or whatever else like that. So where's the internal testing to make sure that these kids are getting educated? This is what I don't understand.
Justin?
Well, the way the system is developed now, everything is to disperse blame so that nobody actually ever has to take accountability. And to make anybody accountable is a huge problem. If you think of the difficulty of firing even bad teachers, I mean, it's not easy to do, which is what goes back to the school choice idea, is if schools are having to compete, that puts a lot of pressure to stop with these ridiculous contract provisions, stop with all the arbitration and this, and just say, look, we have to, we have no choice but to adjust to the, to our students and to serve them. So when we have a bad teacher, we have to empower the principal to identify that and get that over with and get move that teacher somewhere where he or she can be more productive or out of the system altogether. And that's what creates, when everybody's job is at risk, that creates the accountability. Right now, we sort of have testing, which if you don't have graduation requirements, the kids aren't really held accountable to the test. And when you have bad results like we did last week, all you get is, you know, you get a lot of complaints on the radio. You get some experts saying this. Maybe you get some legislators feeling bad and saying, I want to get involved in that. But you don't really get any change. And so there's no real accountability. And that's what it ultimately comes down to, is that accountability. And I think if we had the voucher type system, that gives parents have an ability not only to get their child a better education right away, not having to wait 10 years for the next program to work, but it gives immediate accountability. It says to the school department, you are losing students today. You need to perform better because they have a choice. And that's ultimately the only way I think we're going to fix this. And the disappointing thing about the reaction to the NECAP or RICAP test was that we didn't see a big outcry, which is the only purpose to have these tests, is if it's going to produce an outcry. And yeah. I guess we'll have to wait.
We got a caller on the phone.
We got a break in about 3 minutes, so but, Justin, stay with us.
But let's get Betty in for us. Let's get Betty in for us, and yep. She's got a question for Justin. Betty, welcome to the show.
Welcome to the Hot Mic.
Thank you. I wanted to ask Justin if he would talk about teaching to the test. I have two teachers in my family. And they cannot teach to the test. Massachusetts can, which gave them a head start for Rhode Island. So I think that saying that Massachusetts kids are smarter or whatever is very unfair. Can you talk about that?
No, sure. That's a legitimate concern. And in an ideal world, I would want my children's teachers to be teaching them what they need to know and not necessarily because it's on a test. The problem is because our system doesn't really have any accountability, the public, taxpayers, parents, and voters need some kind of measure of how students are doing. And for the most part, these tests they're not designed to test whether you've memorized things. They should be designed to test concept knowledge in reading and writing and math. And so, I mean, yeah, teaching to test is an issue, but when you're talking in some, I think it was Woonsocket, 6% of eighth graders were proficient in math in this test. Now, I don't think, I mean, we want it to be, let's say 80% is a realistic goal. You're not going to, 74% of that is not because the teachers are not teaching to the test, right? I mean, it just doesn't explain the whole gap. And if we want to be able to get our teachers to teach not only to the test, but teach the broad concepts that'll help students pass tests anyway, we need more a better incentive system altogether, and we need some accountability.
Yeah.
Does that help you at all, Betty?
Yep. Yes. One more thing.
Sure.
I'm just wondering, in other circumstances, too, in other jobs, like I'm a nurse, if you ask the workers, like teachers, what would be helpful, I think you'd be better off than asking the upper echelon who haven't been near a classroom in quite a while.
That's a good point.
I think we have to go out to a break. Justin, Betty, we're going to let you go. Very, very insightful perspective, Justin.
Yep.
Appreciate your sharing. Your
Mike Mattelbro, you want to stay with us right after the break? Yeah. And Justin, thanks a lot, buddy.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. All right?
He's gone.
Yeah, that could go on for fucking 3 minutes.
Maybe it's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you drop
so
in.
Very nice.
A message from the Rhode Island Trucking Association.
I work for my family.
I work for my country.
I work for my father.
My grandfather. My
mother. Trucking moves America forward.
Whether I'm behind the wheel,
at a computer,
on the radio, or under the hood.
A member of your business.
A member of your community.
We deliver milk right to your door.
We deliver good times and bad,
moving millions of goods every year.
We are 7 million professional strong.
Taking pride in what we do
and who we do it for.
Dedicated every day to move America forward.
Jeez, Rob, you look like you slept under your desk.
Mm-hmm. That's because I did.
Oh, what's in the box? Is that a dress?
Mm-hmm. I have to return it before Sherry allows me back into the house.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
I went to the mall to get her a gift, and I saw this dress in the store window.
Uh-huh.
She opened up the box, and the next thing I know, both me and the dress were looking for a place to spend the night.
Wait, this is from A Bun in the Oven. Isn't that a maternity store?
Yep.
Are you and Sherry expecting?
Nope.
This year, give her exquisite diamond or semi-precious stone earrings, a bracelet, or a stunning necklace from Baxter's. Always a safe choice.
Yeah, you should have told her it was your way of saying, let's have another kid.
Tried that. Didn't buy it.
Baxter's. Cultivating relationships since 1960.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You aced vehicle history searches and test drives. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
At Roger Williams Medical Center and Fatima Hospital, we've just received 13 national awards for quality. All good reasons to trust the care we provide our patients. It's an impressive list.
Heart attack, heart failure, COPD, appendectomy.
This quality doesn't just happen. It's the result of a dedicated clinical team working with an exceptional quality assurance program.
Total knee replacement, stroke treatment, pneumonia, pulmonary care.
These awards come from HealthGrades, a respected national monitor of hospital quality.
Esophageal surgery, respiratory failure, stomach surgery, treatment of sepsis.
It's why we say, when it comes to quality, we don't just talk the talk, we walk the walk. Roger Williams Medical Center and Fatima Hospital. Quality care that you can truly count on.
Charter Care.
Health Partners.
Now, back to Changing Gears on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM, WPRO. Your weekly look at trucking, business, and politics. Call Mike and Chris now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Collins and Chris Maxwell.
All right, we are back wrapping up the first hour of the Changing Gears show. Chris Maxwell along with Mike Collins. The Hot Mic is open, sponsored by Mike Kisalika. Mike Kisalika is the Hot Mic at 421-0300. Our number here is 438-9776 or 438-WPRO. Holding on the Hot Mic, and thank you for doing that, is Mike from Attleboro. Mike, thanks for waiting. Thanks for holding. What can we do for you, sir?
Yeah, so you doing the Omaha Steaks?
The what? The Omaha Steaks?
Yeah, they went yesterday, right?
Yeah, yes.
So what do you got for a contest now?
Nothing. No contest today.
Omaha Steaks.
Somebody's giving away Omaha Steaks yesterday. It wasn't us.
It's not us. Sorry.
No. Oh.
Sorry, Mike. Wrong show. Appreciate it. Yep. Anyway, back to the Hot Mic. Very special guest, my old friend, former Adjutant General of
Tyler,
the...
Tyler, aren't you giving away like a $500 gift certificate to the Capitol Grill?
Something no, like that. I'm giving away like one steak. Just one steak.
One steak.
Okay. No, ribeye. It's
a,
I hope
a chuck
ribeye.
Steak
it's
with a big bone.
It's not a good steak, guys. I'm yeah, a young
all,
millennial.
All
you know,
aside,
I work
that guy
in
held
radio.
On. I thought he thought yeah. we were winning something. We were giving something away here.
Yeah. Anyway, on the Hot Mic is former Adjutant General of the state of Rhode Island, my dear old friend, Lieutenant General Reggie Santracchio, who also actually heads the Reggie Santracchio Quintet, the official band of the Rhode Island Trucking Association. Welcome, General. How are you? And thanks for waiting.
Chris, always good to be with you and certainly listening to your show. It's
Thank
rather
you.
Interesting.
You, it is it is Lieutenant, correct? Lieutenant General?
Lieutenant General, yeah.
You work...
I often refer to that when people ask, well, do you call one Lieutenant or do you call him General? And General Holland always had the answer to that was, look, you don't call a Rear Admiral Rear.
There you go. You worked hard for that.
You worked on a Greek freighter.
Perhaps.
Well,
there. Anyway, you worked hard for that second star, sir, and served us proudly as the AG, and appreciate it. You've got a great event coming up tomorrow, correct?
Yes, I do. In fact, I'm fortunate to be able to produce that out in Scituate, and it's called the Christmas in the Village, which is a culmination of the past 3 days that we've been having what's called the stroll through the village of all the small businesses in the area. And we culminate that tomorrow afternoon with a concert by the American band. And on the front end of that is a concert by Kelly Lennon, who sang with us at your facility.
Oh, boy, was she something. She was great.
Yeah, Kelly's got a great voice.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she's a good, good kid. And so anyway, we're doing that at 2 o'clock tomorrow. It's open to the public, free admission, and we're honoring all of our first responders and certainly our veterans. And it takes place at the Scituate High School on Trimtown Road out in Scituate. And looking to fill the house, we have several people that will be there in attendance, along with Colonel Asumpico, the Rhode Island State Police, thanking all of our first responders, and perhaps Kasim Yan from the Director of Veterans Affairs, and some other people. And it really appears to be a pretty nice concert, and this is the third year in a row that we've done it. The American Band is about 54 pieces out of URI.
Wow.
They're just a phenomenal organization. The band itself has been around since 1850, not necessarily the same musicians, but some of the same music, and they do a great job. And so we're looking forward to that. And then from there, we go to the local gazebo where we host the Scituate Art Festival. Incidentally, this is sponsored by the based on a grant from Scituate Art Festival, as well as the Village Drum, which is an organization out in Scituate. And they're sponsoring getting the band there along with the recreation department of the town. And so with a composite effort, we're doing this, and we hope that we'll fill the auditorium. But from there, we go to the gazebo, and we have a train that I built, and we'll be giving little kids rides around the gazebo and bringing Santa in, and that takes place about 4:35 o'clock. And we'll light some trees around the gazebo, and there'll be some hot cider and cookies and those kinds of things just to open up the Christmas season in the village of Scituate. And hopefully you can be there. But
hopefully,
before we get to this, I just want to take some time to tell the people how much I appreciate you, Chris. You've done just a tremendous job through the years in supporting our military. And when you were with the Employee Support of the Guard and Reserve, that was a special time.
That's right.
And
yep.
You did some great things, and I can't over thank you for doing that. And you continue to do that, and I appreciate that. And sure. Certainly all of those having served in uniform appreciate all you've done through the years and continue to do.
Thank you, General. I got on back when I was employed by DeAmbra. We had some great folks. I'll mention his name, Andre Wallace, who's since passed away, a young man. Some great employees who, at Desert Storm was clearly an amazing transformation. It was really a war that really took away citizen employees into the, who were serving the National Guard and deployed them. And really a lot of employers didn't know how to deal with that. So originally it was under General Trudeau, who you succeeded, and we had some great people that served. In fact, Roberta Humble will be coming in the second hour. Roberta was a member of the SGR, as you recall.
Yep.
And it was
yep.
a great organization that not only advocated for employees who were deployed, but also kind of informed employees who really were at a disadvantage. They didn't really know what rights the deployed soldiers who they relied upon had. And it was a great and it still exists. I think employers now are pretty much up to speed. But back in Desert Storm, it was kind of a transformational, and I think you'll agree, a transformational time where we were so dependent upon employees going to war for us, and ESGR at that time was extremely important, and it still is, but I think it was really important at that time. Your thoughts?
It is, because you were most likely at the critical point where all of the deployments really started, and that was at Desert Storm,
right.
And we continue, and now you have a tremendous mix of reserve components as well as the active forces to put a task force out there. And I often refer to this whole effort as a three-legged stool.
Yes.
During my tenure. And that had to do with certainly the soldier, the family, and the employer. And if you take any one of those stool stabilizers out, it would certainly fall. And when you look at what the purpose was of ESGR was to do the exact thing that you just talked about, is to have the employers understand the importance of their employees being able to put the uniform on, go away for a year, come back, and hopefully take care of them as they have done. And certainly the families go along with that too. So,
and it's really striking because, as we learned last week, the 143rd is going to have to cancel the air show because of a major deployment by our citizen soldiers in Rhode Island. So that's an example of what we our military composition is, and that's certainly going to be an additional burden on employers. So we appreciate what employers do, and certainly what the ESGR does. So circling back to the concert, just to recap, Sunday, tomorrow, December 9th at 2 p.m. is the at Scituate High School with singer Kelly Lennon and the American Band. They're going to go probably, I assume, 2 to 4 or so.
Yeah, well, 4:30 thereabouts. And Kelly comes on the front end. We're going to be posting the colors with the Texas Rangers.
Yeah.
And then we have, obviously, the National Anthem and Pledge of Allegiance. Then we get into Kelly and and she does her presentation, and then we'll have a little bit of recognition for several people are there. And then the concert by the American Band.
Beautiful.
And, just to reiterate a point that you just said, you know, you can't thank anybody enough times, and certainly you're in that category.
Oh, thank you.
And
thank you,
when you talk about thanking our troops and their families and the employers, that's exactly what this concert is all about. So please come, and I appreciate the time on the air to tell about it.
Thank you,
General.
Appreciate
it.
Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for all you've
done.
We've
got Matthew from Holden very patiently from Warwick. Go ahead, Matthew. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you very much.
Yep.
I know everybody was talking about, you know, things they could do possibly, you know, right now. And I know vouchers and other items might take some time, but I know last year, there was, and I don't think it's been introduced this year yet, but last year there was a corporate tax credit scholarship bill by Rep. Lancia, and they were looking to actually increase funding on that from $1.5 to $5 million. And that would have been pretty much, you know, almost an immediate benefit to, you know, lower-income children trying to get into, you know, basically a school of their choice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know long-term vouchers and other programs will be, you know, it's never, I don't think it's ever going to be a one-size-fits-all. It's going to be a combination public, private.
You know, oh, absolutely.
In this together. But like that bill, if they introduce it again this year and increase the cap on the corporate tax credit,
we
have children who could benefit immediately.
No parent chooses a bad education for their kids. I think we all in agreement with that. Whether you have the financial well-being or you're totally relying on the public school system, the child should be afforded the same opportunity right across the board. It doesn't matter. Black, white, rich, poor, it doesn't matter. It's an education. And somewhere along the lines, I think we all have to agree, the system is failing these kids. And
we don't have 10 years.
And we don't have 10 years to fix this problem. We really don't.
You're right.
Yeah, the scary thing about the minimum amount of the corporate tax credit in Rhode Island, you know, Rhode Island does $1.5 million. And if you look at a state like Florida, I think they do something like $500 or $600 million in corporate tax credit.
Yeah, they do. It's big,
big
money.
It's amazing. It's like Rhode Island's going to put the commitment in.
It's like when we started off. You know, back in the '70s, the lottery money was designed for education.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a nickel of it's gone there. It all ends up in the general fund. In other states, you see where the money goes. At least they post it. You know. But listen, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Yeah, we're going to go up to a break. This is a long one.
Yeah. We will be back, hour two of the Changing Gears Show.
Your hands, they're just like ice.
My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your
My
hurry?
My father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
So really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't hurry.
Well, maybe just a half a drink more.
Put some records on while I fall.
The neighbors might
But maybe it's bad out there.
Say what?
WPAN-FM, Wakefield, Peacedale. From the New England Truck Solutions Studio, this is News Talk 99.7 FM and AM 630. WPRO, Providence, a Cumulus station.
Kelly to depart, the Russia probe. I'm Ann Cates. Another top Trump administration official is leaving. The president announced to reporters today that Chief of Staff John Kelly will step down at the end of the year. Nick Ayers, who's the vice president's chief of staff, is widely expected to replace Kelly. President Trump has tweeted today that there is no collusion with Russia after court filings revealed more about his one-time personal attorney, Michael Cohen.
Federal prosecutors say Cohen should serve significant prison time for tax evasion, orchestrating hush money payments, and lying to Congress. He's scheduled to be sentenced on December 12th on those charges, even as special counsel Robert Mueller is recommending he get credit for providing what he called relevant and useful information as part of his agreement to cooperate with the Russia probe. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders reacted with this statement. The government's filings in Mr. Cohen's case tell us nothing of value that wasn't already known. She goes on to say, Mr. Cohen has repeatedly lied, and as the prosecution has pointed out to the court, Mr. Cohen is no hero. Linda Kenyon, Washington.
The Trump administration is expected to announce a major rollback of federal environmental protections as soon as next week. Correspondent Christopher Cruz.
A White House document obtained by the Associated Press shows the administration is proposing changes that environmental groups say could lift protection for about half of streams and wetlands in the lower 48 states. The administration has already announced rollbacks for Obama-era protections of climate, air, and wildlands. An administration official says it's time to start delivering on promises the president made to reduce environmental regulations.
North Carolina may be walloped by a winter storm. Meteorologist Les Still.
You get up Winston-Salem going up into the mountains, into the northwest part of North Carolina, and I could see that even carrying on up into, say, you know, Roanoke, Virginia, and even going into West Virginia as well. This storm is really in the sweet spot for that part of the state to get cream.
I'm Ann Cates.
The IRS finally caught up with Louie.
I hadn't paid my taxes in 8 years. I owed the IRS a lot of money.
Louie was in deep trouble.
We're going to take your house, put a lien on your bank account, garnish your pay. They don't care. They're going to take your paycheck.
Louie found out about Optima Tax Relief, the leading tax resolution firm. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, they've resolved over $500 million for their clients.
Optima Tax, they help me. They calm me down. They make me feel comfortable, and I trust them.
Louie has a lot to be thankful for.
I don't owe the IRS anymore, and I'm able to live a comfortable life, a lot better life. It was because of Optima Tax.
For tax help you can trust, call Optima now for a free consultation. Take it from Louie.
If you owe the IRS, don't go it alone. Give Optima Tax a call. They can help you.
Call 800-931-4033. 800-931-4033. 800-931-4033.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
College football's most prestigious award will be handed out tonight in New York.
Three major college quarterbacks are the finalists for the Heisman Trophy Award. Ohio State's Dwayne Haskins, Alabama's Tua Tagovailoa, and Oklahoma's Kyler Murray. The latter a year after his former teammate Baker Mayfield won the award. Murray may be the favorite, but the Sooner is expected to head to Major League Baseball soon as a recent first-round draft pick of the Oakland A's. Murray and Tagovailoa will actually face each other when Alabama and Oklahoma play in the college football playoffs later this month. The Heisman Trophy has been handed out since 1935. I'm Joe Ramsey.
The private treasures of Frank Sinatra and his wife Barbara have been a multi-million dollar hit at auction. Sotheby's reported that the couple's entertainment memorabilia, art, jewelry, books, and other personal items brought in more than $9 million, about twice their pre-sale estimates. Part of the proceeds will go to a Barbara Sinatra charity that helps victims of abuse. I'm Ann Cates.
The IRS finally caught up with Louie.
I hadn't paid my taxes in 8 years. I owed the IRS a lot of money.
Louie was in deep trouble.
We're going to take your house, put a lien on your bank account, garnish your pay. They don't care. They're going to take your paycheck.
Louie found out about Optima Tax Relief, the leading tax resolution firm. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, they've resolved over $500 million for their clients.
Optima Tax, they help me. They calm me down. They make me feel comfortable, and I trust them.
Louie has a lot to be thankful for.
I don't owe the IRS anymore, and I'm able to live a comfortable life, a lot better life. It was because of Optima Tax.
For tax help you can trust, call Optima now for a free consultation. Take it from Louie.
If you owe the IRS, don't go it alone. Give Optima Tax a call. They can help you.
Call 800-931-4033. 800-931-4033. 800-931-4033.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
from the Seascape Christmas Decor Weather Center. Here's your exclusive AccuWeather forecast.
Mostly clear and colder tonight, not as windy as today. Low 14 to the suburbs. We'll see sunny and cold tomorrow, high 33. Clear to partly cloudy and cold tomorrow night with WPRO's exclusive AccuWeather. Who's the meteorologist, Bob Arson.
AccuWeather on the voice of Southern New England. News Talk 99.7 FM and AM 630 WPRO.
The IRS finally caught up with Louie.
I hadn't paid my taxes in 8 years. I owed the IRS a lot of money.
Louie was in deep trouble.
We're going to take your house, put a lien on your bank account, garnish your pay. They don't care. They're going to take your paycheck.
Louie found out about Optima Tax Relief, the leading tax resolution firm. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, they've resolved over $500 million for their clients.
Optima Tax, they help me. They calm me down. They made me feel comfortable, and I trust them.
Louie has a lot to be thankful for.
I don't owe the IRS anymore, and I'm able to live a comfortable life, a better life. It was because of Optima Tax.
For tax help you can trust, call Optima now for a free consultation. Take it from Louie.
If you owe the IRS, don't go it alone. Give Optima Tax a call. They can help you.
Call 800-931-4033. 800-931-4033. 800-931-4033.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
The following program has been paid for by Changing Gears. It is for entertainment and basic informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not reflect the views of Cumulus Media, WPRO, its management, or its staff. It's time for Changing Gears on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM, WPRO. Your weekly look at trucking, business, and politics. Rhode Island, are you ready for change? Here are your hosts, Mike Collins and Chris Maxwell.
I'm the nationwide villain of the DOT.
That's what I'm talking about. We're back.
We are back. Hour two of the Changing Gear Show. Mr. Collins, take it away.
Yeah. So, anyways.
We do have to pay the bills.
Yeah. Next show. Well, let me get my script up here because we have a guest in the studio, which we'll get to in a minute. So, our next segment of the show is brought to us by friends at FM Screen Print, Jake and the boys down in North Kingston at 401-267-0123 or fmscreenprint.com. Hey, this is the time of year whether you want to give corporate gifts or get your logo out there or some form of presentation. These guys do screen printing, embroidery, top-notch, whether it's coffee cups, jackets, hats, any type of promotional stuff. These guys can handle it. Bring them in your logo. Whatever you got going on, these guys do first-class thing. They got state-of-the-art machinery. The new embroiderers, they do a beautiful, beautiful job. They are our official screen printer and embroiderer here, and they also do my work, too, for my company.
Yep.
You know. So with that being said, give them a call at 401-267-0123 or fmscreenprint.com.
All right. We are in studio, hour two of the Changing Gears show. Our guest, first part of the hour two, is my old friend, Roberta Humble. Roberta, you and I go back probably 25, 30 years, I think. As I mentioned earlier with the general, we served at ESGR faithfully and with a great group of, remember, Paul Bellageron and Mike Marino and Edna. There was a great group back there that really we had did a great service for the citizen soldiers that were deployed initially for Desert Storm and still are being deployed, as we talked about at Quonset, you know?
Very much so. I still serve on the committee, believe it
you
or
do.
Not.
No
yes.
kidding.
Yes, I did some briefings this year.
Fantastic.
So you try to give the guardsmen their rights so they know what their rights are.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I always felt that, you know, a lot of times it wasn't an employer problem as much as it was a guardsman not really knowing their rights and not being forthright in some. And it can be a tough situation when you're employed by somebody to go to them and say, "Hey, you're gonna lose me for 6 months. You're gonna lose me for a year." So it was, you know, to arm the citizen soldiers with their rights and how to approach their employer and to be forthright and to be confident in their ask, which is not an ask; it's a right, but it's a lot of times the way you ask. So
and to ask well in advance.
Well in advance.
They get a little nervous about asking. Yes,
yeah.
They do.
Yeah, but we're not here to talk about ESGR, although it's a great cause. We're here to talk about Rhode Island Books and Games. Roberta, your career, you were a community college professor at CCRI for 47 years. first woman Rotarian on the East Coast, commander of the Military Order of Foreign Wars. You're decked out today. You're obviously making the rounds for several events. Naval War College Foundation, Providence Marine Corps of Artillery, and the Association of Rhode Island Authors. You're very heavily, and you're really known for your as a historian. You're involved with the Westerly Armory, and you've done some work and some publications, I believe, on the armories over the years. But now you can speak to the armories. But now you've rolled out. It is holiday season, stocking stuffers. You've rolled out a pretty cool series of Rhode Island centric games. You love Rhode Island. You're a pretty well versed Rhode Islander on things. And tell us a little bit about the project and some of the. I'm looking at one of the games is Roadblock. We'd like to talk about that because it's certainly apropos for what we do. But tell us a little bit how it came about, where you are now, and where you profess to be going.
All right. Well, I've done a new Rhode Island book or game or something every year now for 13 years, not counting my book on the historic armories of Rhode Island.
Yep.
My other books came out of presentations that I did, one for Independence Day, Rhode Island Independence Day at the State House, and it went over so well that it came out as a book. And it's one of the best-selling books in Rhode Island because people love their state and people like to know the good things about it because we always hear many difficult problems, which probably are more resolvable than people think. But
I agree. Yes. Well, if some of the players that are not getting things done could be, you know, catapulted out, it might be easier. But I do agree with you. We have the template and the fortitude to get this place right, hopefully. But
yeah,
to interrupt.
That's fine. I think we have people in the State House who could do the right thing, but they get caught up in the politics, as even our national leaders do, and we needn't get into that. But if we could just make it something, look out for the state. Let's try to get, as you were pointing out, I listened on the way over, I'm an educator, to have good education and so on. I think all went to heck in a handbasket years ago when the new math came in. But outside of that, that was the beginning of it.
You ever hear my fuzzy math story?
Go ahead.
Tell us your fuzzy math.
I'm
going to
tell you my fuzzy math story. So I don't have any children, right?
Okay.
But I have a nephew I love to death, all right? And he's a good kid. So my brother says to me one night, hey, can you come over and watch David? And I said, sure. He says, with that, you got to do his homework. I said, yeah, no problem whatsoever. So I go over and we sit down at the table and I make sure he's fed and everything. And there we are sitting at the table and we're doing our times tables. So where are we going? And you know what? We're doing the nines. So we start off with 9 times 1, and we get all the way up to 9 times 6, and he answers 54. We get to 9 times 7, and he answers me 61. And I look at him, I said, you're wrong. And he takes a hissy fit on me and tells me I'm wrong because this is fuzzy math, and he's close enough at 61. I said, no, the answer is 63. Who told you this about 61? So he says, my teacher, this is fuzzy math. I said, tomorrow I want you to go to your class, put your hand up and say to the teacher, if you make $1,000 a week and they only pay you $650, is that close enough?
Well said.
Well, that's, needless to say, the letter came home to who was Uncle Mike?
And I guarantee you your nephew David did that.
Oh, yeah, that was my fuzzy
Uncle
math.
Mike told him to. He did.
That was my fuzzy math story.
Oh, that's a great story, yep. Mike.
David is a bright.
Yeah, and they quit teaching
kid.
Fuzzy math after. It was roundabout. I was told it was close enough. That's what I was told. Yeah, okay. So anyways, I appreciate what you're saying.
Yeah, Roberta, thank you.
To continue, again, your comments on education, I'd like you to share your perspective if you have more, but back to Rhode Island Books and Games. Where are you? Where'd it come from? Where is it now? Your love for Rhode Island, putting it in perspective and creating a passion that we have to have as citizens of Rhode Island.
Okay. Well, I like to say that my goals are, particularly as an educator, even though I retired a year and a half ago, they've always been to educate people. Now, I have this 13-year investment in trying to tout Rhode Island, trying to get people to realize what we have here, the good side of it at least. Maybe we do mention a pothole here and there, but outside of that, it's pretty positive, as you know, if you've seen my books and games. So that and restoring the Westerly Armory and other armories are my goals. Yep. I like to have a focus in life, and I think it's a good focus. Armories represent sacrifices made for our freedom. And that's why I value them above places like the Breakers and so on. Love the Breakers. Love it. But if we had to burn one down, it's going to be the Breakers over the Armory.
Yep.
Okay, so because they represent greater things. But Rhode Island has so much in it. I think if you were trapped, well, I don't want to really use the word trapped, but if you were in the state and couldn't leave it all your life, there's enough in here that if you really went to see all the things and do all the things that we have here, you would never be bored a day in your life.
Agreed.
So I think that, not that I do want people to get out, so don't get me wrong, but if you were trapped here, you'd do just fine, and you would enjoy every minute, too. So I came out this year with Roadmap. It's I have six games and six books and six games and plus Secret Rhode Island and the Rhode Island card. And they're all available in 24 stores throughout the state. But Roadmap came out this year, and it's geographically oriented, so it's a little different. It comes with two small jigsaw puzzles of 24 pieces each, and 100 cards with two questions each. If your opponent gets the answer correct on the question that you ask, then he or she gets a puzzle piece. And the object is to put the puzzle together, 24 pieces. Each puzzle is a map of Rhode Island. And each puzzle is a different color and different shapes of pieces so that you'll never mix them up.
Yep.
So it's easy to play in a certain way. The questions can be hard or not. You'll know some, you won't know others. And that's the point, because don't you want to learn something?
You're going to do a little research to find out the answers, right?
Or
you're going to drive around and go find out.
You'll have to be Googling away.
Yep. All right, you're going to stay with us. We're going to run out to a quick break here, and we'll be back. Dorothy in the car, hold on, please. We'll get you right after we come back from the break.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you drop
so
in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like ice.
Changing Gears is brought to you by Best Pass, Consolidated Concrete, Fleet Screen, the Gaspy Business Network, Kissalika Law, M&M Disposal, Palmer Spring, Rhode Island Trucking Association, Sinclair Risk, West Davisville Realty, Freshmoat Screen Printing, Hats Power Equipment, New England Tractor Trailer Training School, and Priority Capital.
Trucking moves America forward. Remember, if you eat it, drink it, wear it, watch it, or drive it, chances are a truck brought it to you. If you're a small business and thinking of relocating, need more space, or just want better space, check out West Davisville Commons in Quonset Point. Family owned and operated, the DeCenzo brothers have units from 5,000 up to 20,000 square feet. They offer great incentive packages like tenant fit-outs, no common area maintenance charges, long and short-term leases. In fact, new tenants receive the first 2 months free. Located at 342 and 338 Compass Circle in North Kingstown. Call Steve DeCenzo at 401-284-6660.
Tired of the same old boring financial radio show? Yeah, so are we. That's why Euclid Financial Services created the Retirement Factory.
Absolutely love Oreos. The two cookies, those are your guaranteed incomes. The cream filling, those are your IRA accounts.
If we were going to do that, why wouldn't we talk about the milk-to-cookie ratio?
Nah, see, the Oreo cookie itself is your guaranteed incomes surrounding your flexible and predictable incomes.
Tune in Saturdays at 4 and Sunday mornings at 11 on News Talk 630 WPRO.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Now, back to Changing Gears on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO. Your weekly look at trucking, business, and politics. Call Mike and Chris now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Collins and Chris Maxwell.
Welcome back to the show. We got Dorothy holding patiently on the line there. Dorothy, welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Happy holidays.
Same
Happy
to you. Holidays to you, too.
Thank you. Hey, I just wanted to give a shout-out. My dad, Tom Shortall, was very involved in
CSPR. One of the best guys around. Your dad was a pilot, correct?
Correct, helicopter pilot.
That's right. One of the best. And yes, Tom Shortall, is your dad still living?
No, he passed be 2 years in April.
Yeah, 2 years. God bless him. One of the great guys. You remember Tom, Roberta, correct?
Oh, Tom was wonderful.
Oh,
he was a pilot.
He was a pilot. He was Governor Noel's pilot,
yes.
As a matter of fact. Right. But thank you for calling.
Yep. I'm driving his former car with the ESDR sticker on it.
All right. We love it.
Well, I just had to give a shout-out.
Well, it's like a little ESGR reunion today, but thank you for calling in. Yeah. God bless your dad, one of the best guys that ever walked the earth. I mean that. Great guy.
Joe from Providence, hold him next. Joe, you're up in a minute, Joe, as soon as our engineer gets back to where he was. He had a little...
Get back there, Tyler.
Tyler, come on, buddy. Tyler, say hello to everybody when you get back there, will you, please? You know? We asked Tyler today.
Tyler's filling in. Job today.
Yeah?
Yeah, hey.
We're not easy.
Hey, Joe, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, you guys are making me run around all that.
Yeah, wait till the
it's
show.
It's all part of the job. You think you're running now? Wait till we chase you out of this building. Yeah? Bad. Hey, Joe.
Joe, welcome to the hot mic.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Professor.
Hi.
Yeah, you and I are a couple months apart in age. And so we grew up at the same time with the same kind of education, I would assume.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, to say that again, Joe, I didn't hear your first comment.
I am about 3 months apart in age.
Oh, yes, okay. I was born in 46, as was,
me too. I was
G.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and Donald Trump. We're all born in 46.
How about that?
And who else? George W. Bush, too.
Yeah, G.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, Sylvester Stallone, Dolly Parton, Cher.
Well, the people I share the birth period with, the guys you never heard of, guys I worked with, but anyway... you know, we grew up when we really got educated. Now, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and you grew up here, but I doubt there was that much of a difference because by fifth grade, I knew every battle in American history.
Wow, that's impressive.
You know, we had great teachers, really great teachers in the New York City education system. And my mother taught adult ed, and my wife, after she retired, taught at a charter school here. My daughter's a professor of education, but she taught in Providence for 9 years also. And you know what? She went to RIC, but she teaches in Pennsylvania. But the thing is that we were educated without any distractions, how to put it. We actually learned things. We learned geography. We got a lot. And you're right about the new math. I couldn't understand the old math myself. That wasn't my strong suit. I was more oriented towards geography, history, English, that kind of thing, you know? My wife is the math whiz. But it's very interesting that you want to preserve the real history.
Well, I'm not an historian, so keep that in mind. I taught technical writing to engineers and to computer engineers.
Right.
That was my job. But I was asked once to do a speech for Rhode Island Independence Day, and that sort of started it off, that with a combination of my work with the historic armories. And I think it's very important for us to know some of this history. I do a lot of presentations, and one of them will take you, well, a lot of them will take you around the state. And people learn so much, and it gives them new opportunities to explore Rhode Island and to learn about it and to be proud of it. But by the way, I want to make this comment while I have you on with me, Joe. I've heard you on a number of talk shows, and you are highly articulate and very educated about politics, the state, and how the state works. So I congratulate you on that.
Well, thank you. You know, my love of local history relates back to Brooklyn. I can't believe it's hipster land now. It makes me want to drop. But Brooklyn's a rich area of history, just like Rhode Island, because it goes back to the original settlers.
Yes, it does.
And mainly Dutch there, as opposed to whoever was here. But
Joe, what do you mean whoever was here? We had Roger Williams.
You know, it was like English and, you know, everything. Not so much Dutch as...
Yes. Yeah, we had mostly the English, but yes, but they were all, actually, those people really knew how to learn and how to teach, which is interesting. You learned everything from the ground up, and they were amazing teachers, and they could do it in a one-room schoolhouse, too, mind you.
Yeah, well, a lot of my high school teachers, the male teachers, were World War II veterans, and they were under no illusions about life, believe me. And one of my history teachers was a tail gunner on a B-17, Mr. Bloom. He was a tail gunner because he was such a small guy, they could fit him in there.
Wow.
And you know what? I remember all these people. I remember the names. I loved going to school in New York. It was a great education. When I got in New York City public schools, I felt like, you know, today I got a better education than I would have in college.
I think so, too. And, of course, if people – the standards – I've been watching the standards drop. My mother taught elementary, and when she retired at age 70, she taught sixth grade. She said in the last 5 years, she could see the students coming up who read less well and so forth. You could actually see it coming.
Well, I went to service, and I was there for a while, but I had gone to college for 2 years before that. So when I got out of the service, I went back to college, and they had remedial reading. I couldn't believe it.
Joe, thanks for the call.
Yes.
Joe, thank you for the call, Joe. Appreciate it.
So,
Roberta, back to the games.
Yep.
All right. Did you get to see Roadblock, Chris?
I did get to see Roadblock.
Okay, Roadblock is a card game. It's played like Crazy Eights.
Yeah.
So even out-of-staters can play it, but there's information about each of the different Rhode Island places on there. Like there are 4 beaches, 4 museums, 4 theaters, 4 parks, 4 armories, 4 historic houses, 4 foods, 4 state symbols, and so forth. People will kind of love learning about Rhode Island while they play the game, and it's easy to play. From ages 7 and up can play it. Yeah. And families. Did you notice the Roadblock cards? There are 4 Roadblock cards in there.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Can I tell them about one
Please
of them?
Please do.
One of the Roadblock cards has this sign. You know those big traffic signs that say, "Welcome to Rhode Island"? Mm-hmm. Well, there's one. And right above it, there's another sign that says, "Toll Plaza Ahead." And I did that just for my friend Chris and his buddy Mike here for the show. So I think that they get a kick out of that.
Thank you. We do have some allies, I think, in this state.
But yes,
you
do.
One of them, Roberta. Thank you. Appreciate that dedication to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
So the games are historical in nature.
Yep.
If you want to learn about Rhode Island.
Well, it's not just history, because I do want to point out that Roadmap is geographical. And it even has some businesses in it, because I want people to know some businesses that they might not know.
Right.
Like a Bee's Buzz in Foster on Route 6, mm-hmm. that people don't know carries antiques and gifts. And it's so way out there that people don't always know
So even seasoned Rhode Islanders are going to learn things about Rhode Island they don't even fathom.
No.
They can't even fathom. Mm-hmm.
Do you know we have 3 of the oldest operating general stores in the nation? The most credible one, we have Brown and Hopkins in Chepachet, we have Grace in Little Compton, and we have the Summit General Store over in Coventry, in the green part of Coventry. It's called Green. They actually have, Summit is really the traditional general store. It has a deli, it sells gifts, it sells farm products, it has a post office inside for Green. It's fabulous. Last year, they sold 66 of my secret Rhode Islands. I was so amazed because they're out in a back road in the western part of Coventry, and they are the nicest people, and they work hard, and I'm just so pleased
People
to
hoping
see
there
it.
Was a map in there so could they find their way out of Green. That's what happened.
it's not easy. You need the Garmin for that.
So this is Roadmap. Let me ask one of the questions. In what town, city was the first Dell's Lemonade cart opened for business?
Cranston.
1948.
That'd be Cranston.
Yes, and you'd be right.
Thank you very much, Mr. Collins.
Yep.
Which is the largest of Rhode Island's islands? You know that one, Captain Collins.
Really?
Connecticut, Block, Aquidneck, Dutch. Aquidneck, right?
Aquidneck,
yes. Oh,
yeah,
Aquidneck,
yes.
Of the island, sure.
Of course.
But can I throw in a question related to that?
Okay.
What is the only town on Connecticut Island?
Connecticut. Connecticut.
Which
island.
Is Jamestown?
Yes, Jamestown.
Okay, yep.
Because what is the only town on Block Island?
New Shoreham.
New Shoreham.
Yeah.
Very good.
Gee, go.
You guys
yep.
are good.
Yep. Good.
Is that because you drive trucks?
Well, yeah. You know, we're not two dumb truckers.
And the All town right. on Jamestown. right,
the town on Jamestown?
Yeah, it's Connecticut, right? It's down by the military base. The old base. It used to be a Navy
yes.
base.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Roberta.
Wait, hang on.
Okay.
Go ahead, one more.
Okay. How about, this one is a South County one, okay. A scorpion is South County equivalent to the big blue bug. Which town is home to the scorpion at a scrap metal business?
I think it's Exeter Scrap Metal.
It is. Exeter Scrap Metal.
How's that, huh?
That's down, that's
Route 3.
Route 3,
it?
Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now,
but,
do you know, all right, now you seem to know a lot of state trivia and stuff like that, right?
Well, yes, we do.
All right, so you seem to be very versed on it. Can you tell me where No Rhode Island is?
Melville?
No.
What is it?
No.
No,
Rhode Island.
No,
Rhode Island?
N-O Rhode Island.
No, I don't know where No Rhode Island.
Well, if you're heading up 95, you see No Exit 4.
Oh. But But we do have.
Well, they
got to
correct that when we do the new exit. The new exit.
Just tell them that's no Rhode Island.
But we do have Moscow and Wyoming and Carolina.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. That throws some people for a loop.
I'd love that. Thank you, Mike.
Yep.
So, Roberta, how many games we have? How many games total?
I think I've got 6 games and 6 books, plus Secret Rhode Island and the Rhode Island card and a couple of odd things.
And
yes.
Where can people best find these besides online?
Well, if you go to westerlyarmory.com and hit Rhode Games and Books, it'll have a list of the 24 stores. Yep. And you can buy them online, too, if you like. So both. But like Barrington Books, Books on the Square, Savoy Books in Westerly, Wakefield Books, Stillwater. Water Books in Pawtucket, they're all over.
Local games, local trivia, local history, local merchants. That's boy, that's
made
a
by
nice,
local.
By local.
All local.
These are great for the holidays when people are together, stocking stuffers, gifts, people that travel back from that love Rhode Island, love to come back.
We're going to go out to a break. We're way over.
Okay.
All right. Yep. Thanks.
I really can't. Are you done?
Cold outside. I've got to go away.
Maybe it's cold outside.
This evening has been...
Since 1957, Consolidated Concrete has become one of the largest concrete companies in southern New England. Concrete, flowable fill, and retaining wall blocks are their business. Builders depend on their fast delivery with their modern fleet of front discharge mixers. Whether it be flowable fill or 6,000 PSI concrete for foundations, Consolidated has a product to fit your needs. Their service is number one, and the quality is second to none. Consolidated Concrete. Call 401-438-4700 or in Mass at 508-673-4700.
Do you travel across state lines and pay tolls with multiple authorities? Save time and money with BestPass, the complete toll management system for truckers by truckers. BestPass is the professional choice for serious fleet managers that allows truckers to move seamlessly and without the need to manage multiple accounts. The BestPass nationwide service makes tolls as easy and cost-effective as possible. Call 1-888-410-9696 or visit BestPass.com to learn more.
When the world is watching and you need your logo perfectly printed on promotional items, you need the ultimate guarantee. You need certainty. To know for certain it'll be right the first time, on the right items, at a great price. You need the promotional product experts at 4 Imprint. Because as soon as something has your logo on it, it matters to you, your customers, your coworkers, and to us. From pens and caps to hot tech and popular brands, 4 Imprint's wide selection always changes to keep up with the latest trends. But there is one thing we've delivered for over 30 years that's timeless. Certainty. Because the world is certainly watching. Explore thousands of promotional products at 4imprint.com. That's the number 4imprint.com. 4imprint. For certain.
Now, back to Changing Gears on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM, WPRO. Your weekly look at trucking, business, and politics. Call Mike and Chris now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Collins and Chris Maxwell.
Welcome back. Hey, you know, buddy, we're lucking out this weekend, but down south, they're getting a lot of snow.
We're going to get it.
Me, and we'll it'll be coming. Sooner or later, it's coming this way. And that's why, you know, we have our friend Pat's Power there down in Charleston who sells the Husqvarna snowblowers. Yep. And, ladies, if you're looking for something to get your husband without him out there shoveling and have a heart attack, get him a snowblower. All right? And right
that
now...
That may not be a good tack, though. Yeah, well, some of those wives want them out there shoveling.
Well, they want them out there shoveling. This is true. So let me revise that. If your husband's not well insured, then get him a snowblower. All kidding aside. So anyways, the Husqvarna snowblower is right up now to the end of the year.
Yep.
There's a $100 rebate on them, and Pat's got every range of horsepowers, and from 26, 20-inch, small ones to big ones. There's 0% financing on equipment down there. Pat services what he sells. Unlike big box retail, you buy it there, it gets fixed there, it gets repaired there. They have pickup and delivery service, pick it right up at your house, bring it back, so on and so forth. He is, you know, I buy a lot of my stuff up there, full disclosure, and always been treated very well. He's also a Yamaha golf cart dealer now, too. So give Pat a call at 401-364-6114, where you can find him at 3992 Old Post Road down in Charleston. Thanks. We're back.
Hey, we are back. Thank you, Mike. We're going to just round this out, and thank you, Roberta. We're with Roberta Humble, who is a great Rhode Islander historian who now has a complete line of six trivia games and books about Rhode Island, sold throughout Rhode Island small business bookstores and general stores, and online at www.westerlyarmy.com. Great holiday idea, great gifts for again, those people that may be Rhode Islanders at heart, but they're coming in for the holidays, or great for around the table on the holidays. Roberta, a great, great initiative, great for Rhode Island, and thank you for what you do and spreading the good word and your faith in Rhode Island. I think we can be the great state we profess to want to be, but yep. It's going to take some work. So thank you for coming.
Thank you very much for having me.
No problem. Appreciate it very much. You know, I got an idea for a game. You know, it's a card game.
Yep.
You know, it could be Liar's Poker called the Legislative Edition. You know?
Yeah. Maybe we'll work on that.
We can work on that. We can do pitches.
I was going to do road rage.
Well, we could do pitches of all our favorite legislatures.
All right, we'll do
all
that
the crimes
game, and
they've
then
committed.
We're going to develop the Rhode Island drinking game with you, Roberto, okay?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
But sincerely, thank you for coming in, Roberto. I know you got a busy afternoon.
Hey, by the way, we're going to wrap this. We got about 25 minutes left. And any small businesses that want to call in
and
promote themselves, please do. I'm sorry we got tied up with the education thing in the first half, and we had Roberta in here with a little homegrown business here in Rhode Island with the Rhode Island Trivia. These things are awesome. I got one of the cards in front of me. They're pretty fact-filled information.
Absolutely.
You know, something you really want to take a look out and find. And if you have any questions or where to locate them, give us a call here at the station, and we'll take your number and call you back with the information. Yeah?
Yeah. Take it away.
As we, you know, people saying we've been playing Baby It's Cold Outside. So I am so,
I am so
PO'd.
Okay.
About.
Can we
this,
say that?
Yeah, I don't care anyway. I'm going to say I'm so pissed off right now. It's not even funny because.
Thank you.
I can't stand the assassination of Christmas songs. When you start indulging and looking deep into things that aren't there. Okay, Baby It's Cold Outside now is a date rape song.
And now they're banning it. They're banning it.
All right, now all the stations are afraid to run it. Well, we're not. That's why we're going to keep running it. All right?
All the way through the Christmas season.
And you know what? If you don't like it, turn us off. I really don't care. Okay? So with that being said, I got a whole list of songs these guys have assassinated.
Okay, go for it.
All right, you ready? You might want to stay for this because it's pretty interesting.
Roberta, stick with us.
Now, so here's number one. Here's one, and they're not in any order of assassination. They're just a list of them. So I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
Okay.
Now that could be subject to minus the softcore porn.
Okay.
If you want to get technical by that. Okay. The Christmas song, Open Fire, pollution, folks dressed up like Eskimos, cultural misappropriation. All right. Come on. If you want to get technical. All right. Really?
Okay. I've
given this a lot of thought. Huh?
Can you say Eskimo anymore?
Indigenous Eskimo.
Yes,
yeah,
thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry. Good. All right. Excuse me. Well, they would be kind of indigenous, right? Because they're a form of an Indian.
Yes,
right?
They are a form
right?
of an Indian.
So indigenous people. Okay.
Indigenous cold people.
Yeah, to be politically correct. Yeah. But we don't have an Eskimo holiday.
No, we got to get one.
We should get one. All right? Holly Jolly Christmas. Kiss Her Once For Me. Unwanted Advances.
Yes.
That's like,
yes,
you know,
yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
So everybody's on the same page with me on this, all right? All right, the white Christmas day, racist, Black Friday, racist. Where are we going with this?
Well, we had, I'm dreaming of a
white
Dorchester.
White Christmas
I'm
was
dreaming
designed,
of a white Dorchester card went out. That really.
But it meant the clean snow, the driven snow, you know, the snow on the trees with the lights making it look beautiful. There's nothing racist about it. No one ever decided it was for white people. Black Friday, for example, is about businesses to turn a profit, to bring their books into the black. Did you know that? There we go, okay? Nothing racist
and
about the two comments.
Black Beauty.
Yep, this is true, too. Well, Santa Claus is coming to town. See you when you're sleeping, know when you're awake. Now Santa Claus could be a stalker or a peeping Tom.
I think so.
All right?
I think
right.
he's kind of creepy guy.
All right?
Never did anything for me, so.
Okay. All right? You know, it's like the Tooth Fairy, you know?
We'll
go somewhere
we'll go
there.
We'll come back to that.
All right. The most wonderful time of the year. Everyone telling you to be good of good cheer. All right? That's just making people forced to hide your depression. You know? I mean, all right. Now, this one I got a real problem with. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, constituted as bullying.
Yeah.
Do you believe
that's when Santa lost me? When Santa kind of said, "Oh, he was such a good and he could jump so high."
I love the Rudolph show. I love the music of Burl Ives. I think Burl Ives was an awesome little, you know, have a holly jolly Christmas. He did awesome Christmas music.
And UConn Cornelius, but was,
you know,
packing,
what?
You know, he was packing a
little
a,
Rudolph a was a life lesson.
Yeah.
Okay. It's you know what?
If you have a big red nose, you shouldn't be able to play in the schoolyard.
But
I
you
get
know
it.
What? He was different. And the point is, all right, if you're going to read that much into it, he was different. But who at the end guides the sleigh? The different guy. Okay.
It was a great life lesson.
It was a great. Right. It was.
But
you
it's
know
more
what?
About bullying now.
Yeah, if you want to, well, if you want to get bullying
age,
out of that,
today's age, it is bullying.
Okay,
you know, Comet, Rudolph, go home.
The dentist should be up in arms about UConn Cornelius and them taking the tooth out of the ogre's head without any anesthesia. Okay, all right, come on, I can go 100 different ways with this thing. All right, and then I'm sure the Eskimos would have a little something to say about that too. All right, so where are we going here? All right, next we got.
I don't know where we're going.
All right, next it is beginning to look a lot like Christmas. All right. We're ready for that?
Yep.
Forced gender-specific gifts, dolls for Janice and Jen, and boots and pistols and guns for Bonnie and Ben. Come on, really? Okay? All right. All right. Santa baby.
Santa baby.
All right. Now, that could be construed about a gold digger or blackmail. Which one is it? Okay? All right. All right. Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah.
Sexist. Could be what's a sexist that? Thing. What's snowman. That? How do you know he's not a snow woman? Okay. Right? He's not gender specific when you see him.
Oh, okay.
Well, doesn't have a carrot.
With a carrot?
Yeah, but in the movie,
he's a in the movie. Hey, we didn't ask you, Tyler.
Tyler.
Tyler, shut up.
Okay.
Nah, Tyler, you're entitled to your opinion. This
Tyler,
is America.
Just kidding.
You
come
can
on.
Join in any time, Tyler.
You're our producer today. You can say whatever you want.
Wasn't he a dude in the movie, though?
Well, he was at the ice rink. Yeah, you're right. He was a dude.
Who was?
Well, yeah, when Michael Keaton turned into Frosty.
Okay.
But I'm going back to my Burl Ives guy with Frosty.
Okay.
Okay. He was not gender specific.
He was not.
You know, and I didn't see one of those special bathrooms for him. maybe it's me. I don't know. Yeah. You know the LGBT Stein three-way bathroom.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Okay.
We're gonna get him one.
Yeah.
So we're gonna rewrite. We're gonna rewrite Frosty the Snowman next too.
And one for snowmen.
Yeah. Snowmen. Snow. Yeah. Snow people.
Yes.
All right. Do you hear what I hear?
That's a
total disregard for the hearing impaired.
I agree.
Okay?
I agree. Absolutely.
Total
Absolutely.
Disregard.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. All right. Let me see. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Yep. Make the Yuletide gay. We'll leave that alone.
Okay. Let's just let it speak for itself.
That's in Providence.
Okay.
That's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Jingle bell rock. Giddy up, jingle horse. Pick up your feet. That's classic animal abuse. Are you kidding me? All right. Now, mistletoe and holly, overeating, folks stealing a kiss or two. How did that song even come out? Really, when you think about it, you know, overeating, mistletoe, holly, stealing a kiss. All right. And then the last one, which was Winter Wonderland, Parson Brown demanding they get married, forced partnership. What do you do? Knock her up? Who knows? You know? We don't know. But my point behind the whole thing is we're all sitting here and we're humorous about it.
Yeah,
okay?
Of course.
And the way we should be. All right? It's
these are the greatest gifts of the holiday season.
You know what?
And here we are.
We all enjoy Christmas music.
Christmas now is under assault.
Yeah. You know what? It started, you know, I have friends that are Jewish. I have friends that are Baptist. I have friends that are Episcopal. And I never heard any of them once tell me that a nativity scene offended them in any different way. Nor did the menorah ever offend me. Where have we gone?
Yeah.
What have we done to ourselves? Are we destroying our own inner being? We're destroying our country, or the fabric of our country, internally. You know what? It's funny because, you know, how long is this going to continue and we're going to allow it to continue? And, you know, I was looking for some sayings
That's
I had.
That's the key, Mike. How long are we going to allow without pushing back on this nonsense that we're hearing?
I had an interesting fact, and it was funny because I'm trying to find it, and it was some words. And when I do find it, I'll be more than happy to read it. But you know, we start attacking the Christmas song. It starts from politics, then it goes to Christmas songs, and then it goes to our fabric of our life. Because
the American the haters of America have become haters of Christmas.
You know, Chris, down your way.
Or happiness.
Down
they become
way,
haters of happiness.
Down your way.
Yeah, okay.
In East
down
Greenwich,
by me.
Towards East Greenwich in Love Lane in the middle there, where there was a memorial. That was in the middle of the intersection.
That's correct. At the corner of Love and Division.
Right. Some guy moves in there, decides it's offensive to him, and they take him out.
Really?
Yeah.
One person.
Yeah.
A girl walks into a school in Cranston and says she doesn't like the prayer on the wall, and she gets a free education.
Yep.
But the money they gave her to give the free education says, "In God We Trust."
Yep.
But they have no problem spending that. And I'm not trying to get into people's religious or whether you believe or
not.
But what I'm saying is we're disintegrating our moral fiber. All right? And if you don't have a moral compass, all right, where are you going? You are so out of direction, it's not even funny. And you know what? Whether when we were kids, whether it was Boy Scouts or other groups, or whether we were religious groups or you went to Bible studies or whatever, there were morals and basics taught to all of us. Mm-hmm. All right? And the job of an educator in school was to teach us the morals and so hopefully put us on that right path. But this horse crap of disintegrating these Christmas songs and trying to discreet, you know, the holiday
trying
of a year.
Them.
Yep. And trying to twist them into something that's not there. We just can't allow this any longer. And at some point, you know, I want people to call it. It's got to stop. Yeah. It really does. I mean, your thoughts? Anybody's thoughts? Your thoughts?
Roberta, chime in.
Well, yeah, I've heard references to this from people who are knowledgeable. And they think that it can go several ways, but one of them might be civil war. And that's really upsetting to think about.
It is.
Because I would like to mention that our church I live in Kennebecott in Warwick, and the Woodbury Union Church burned about a week and a half ago.
Yep.
And Father Marciano, who's at the Catholic Church, walkable from the other church that burned. Father Marciano is a citizen soldier. He went. He took the
Colonel
initiative.
Marciano.
Colonel Marciano marched over to the minister over at Woodbury and offered them the Catholic Church or Protestant services.
How about that?
And so at 9 o'clock, they have Catholic masses in the Catholic Church, and at 10:30, they have Protestant services in the Catholic Church. Now, that's pretty amazing.
That is amazing.
Beautiful.
And,
that's
I found my quotes, and if I may for a minute, America will be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves. Abraham Lincoln.
We will leave it on that note because we have to go out to a break.
And then we'll take that
Roberta,
call.
Roberta, thank you again. Thanks for hanging with us.
Thank you.
My father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
So really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't.
Thinking about training for your commercial driver's license? Get the hands-on training from NETS. At New England Tractor Trailer Training School, you'll learn by doing and get behind the wheel with instructors that want you to succeed. There's financial aid available for those that qualify, and NETS is approved for GI Bill education benefits. Call their school in Pawtucket today at 401-234-0173 and get on the road to your CDL. That's 401-234-0173 or visit NETTS.com.
If you want a healthier-looking appearance without surgery, who doesn't, call Belviso Medical Spa. The owner, Brittany Iafredi, well, I've known her for years. She's a registered nurse with so much experience in the medical field. Belviso Medical Spa has so many services like Botox, derma fillers, chemical peels, microneedling, PRP facials, and more. Not just for women. They also offer Brotox for all you men out there, and no one will know. Get your holiday gift certificates online. It's that easy. Visit Belviso Medical Spa, 5670 Post Road East Greenwich at belvisomedicalspa.com.
Hi, this is Tara Granahan, and with November here, you know what that means. Soon the holidays will be here, and I'm sure you could use some extra cash. Stop in Roman Jewelers today. Ask for Mike or Vlad or Elena, and they'll buy your gold, silver, old watches, tarnished, worn-out, silver-plated hollowware, and flatware. Bring in those items that you no longer have any use for and get cash fast. That's Roman Jewelers, 1000 Reservoir Ave in Cranston.
Indoor baseball, anyone?
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Iggy's Doughboys and Iggy's Boardwalk Lobster and Clam Bar is open year-round, so stop in today for delicious apps, entrees, and more. And while you're there, Iggy's Doughboys in Warwick, now through December 31st, buy a $50 gift card and get a $10 voucher. Iggy's is also celebrating the 12 days of Christmas, having something special every day online and in-store. Wow, now that's a great deal. Iggy's Doughboys Warwick, it's always summer at Iggy's, a Rhode Island tradition since 1989.
Are you or someone you know struggling with a drug, alcohol, or gambling addiction? If so, help is available and is only a phone call away. The Hope in Recovery line offers resources for treatment and recovery. English and Spanish-speaking counselors are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Addiction is a disease, but recovery is possible. Get help. Call the Hope and Recovery line. Call 942-STOP. That's 942-7867. 942-STOP. All calls are confidential.
Now, back to Changing Gears on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM, WPRO. Your weekly look at trucking, business, and politics. Call Mike and Chris now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Collins and Chris Maxwell.
Welcome back. So we got about 10 minutes left here. Bob, we're going to take you in a minute, and then Freddie, our friend Freddie from Warwick, will pick him up. So, anyways, you know, it's small business. We're trying to promote small business right now for up to Christmas, help these Rhode Island businesses. So another saying, too, entrepreneurs and their small enterprises are responsible for almost all the economic growth in the United States. Who said that? Mr. Ronald Reagan.
Wow.
One of the greats.
Yep.
Bob from Johnston, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. I'm getting used to it. You guys have a good show.
Thank you.
Good work.
Appreciate
it. Here's my beef of the week. Today's Providence Journal. The Edwards twins. Have you seen these two gentlemen perform?
I haven't seen them perform, but they've been all over the place. They go to the Odeum in East Greenwich.
Who's that?
That's correct.
Edwards twins. They're, I think, what are they? Bidet or drag type?
Well, no, it's sort of like a combination. There's two brothers, but okay. They impersonate. They're huge. According to the article that I read, I'm outraged by it. And Jim, I have a lot of respect for Jim Vincent, but I don't know who put him up to this one. They don't like the idea that they're using black makeup. Lionel Richie and Stevie Wonder. Now, I've seen them perform this.
Well, Lionel Richie and Stevie Wonder, last time I checked, were black. Maybe Stevie Wonder doesn't know he's black because he can't see his skin. I don't know.
I was almost going to say that. His response,
I will.
I don't know. I haven't seen him. But, you know, my response to that is they're performers. We're so politically correct now about everything. And this is why Donald Trump got elected president. One of the things he always said, you know, we're so politically correct, we're destroying our traditions, our cultures.
Yeah.
So anyway, having read this, I said, you know what? Well, they ended up canceling the show at the new Gambitter.
Did they really?
Yeah, and it was almost sold out. Now, they're performing a lot of other places, but the two brothers are rightfully, they should be outraged by this.
Well,
because
no.
They have the respect of...
They're an institution. They're a great act and institution. And I've never seen them, but I know people that...
It goes back, and people look back at the old thing, which wasn't so. It was way back to what they call the old white face they used to call
it. Right. So, you know, my response to that is...
The minstrel shows.
Cut it out. Yeah. Enough is enough.
You know, the funniest Halloween costume I ever saw was my brother dressed up as Geraldine Jones. Remember Geraldine Jones?
Oh, yeah, Geraldine, of course.
And my parents, who were as liberal and they're, you know... Dressed him up with the Afro wig and put black on his face and put him in a dress.
Real quick.
There's no more fun
in it. And the black face in this act is to represent the singers. It's not to insult the singers.
That's correct. That's,
okay, yeah, it's not to insult them. It's not to sit there. Actually, it's the fact that they're going to sing like Lionel Richie and whatever else like that. It's not an insulting nature.
Nope.
Hey, Bob, thanks for the call. We're going to bunch against you.
Yeah.
Sue from Warwick, you're up next, and then Freddie. Sue, go ahead.
Hi, is it talking to me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hey. Now, these two guys are very adept performers, very experienced. No way were they perpetrating the horrible blackface tradition.
That's what I just said, yep.
They're showing makeup. If you had to portray Trump, you'd have to paint him orange face.
Right.
Yep.
Right. You would.
A black person could be all the way from white to very, very black and blue.
Yep.
You have to show some makeup or people won't get it. They were not being insulting at all. It's insulting that this comes to this absurdity. It's insulting.
Oh, that's what, you know what, and it's these helicopter parents that destroyed this generation.
Yeah, we got to get real, man.
Yeah, you know what, I'm sick of them. I'm really, really sick of them. Sue, thanks for the call.
Sue, that's a great,
appreciate it.
Get real, man.
It is get real. You know what? He's one of the realists right now.
I'm Freddie
from Warwick. Yep, here's Mr. Real himself.
Freddie, welcome to Hot Mic.
You know, Freddie, hang on. What, you weren't here last week.
No, I wasn't.
But
I was
Freddie took a ride last week.
He
went down. Yeah, Freddie went down to East Greenwich and witnessed the turnover.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. He, was, and then gave,
the execution?
Gave us a first-hand report of the execution.
Yes.
Freddie. It was such a bloodshed down there. People were just like, huh? What happened?
What's happened, Fred?
And you want to know something? She still walked away with money.
Yeah.
Yes, she did.
She still walked away with money, and she brought it out, and you know something? That's it. But, you know, you said something about within America, you know, destruction could happen.
Yep.
Okay? This is what's going on right now in France. It happened with De Gaulle.
Yep.
Okay? And then it happened with somebody else after him. These people are not giving up. 89,000 people, they got out there on the streets for protection this weekend.
Yeah, 89,000. Have you seen this? 89,000 police officers.
89,000, and they're going at it with them.
So what Freddie's talking about, bringing Mary up to speed, is there's a resistance going on in France. It's called the Yellow Jacket Resistance. And they all have on safety yellow, all right? And because the president tried to jack up fuel, right, Freddie? Yep.
That's right.
A stupid amount of money and taxes by like 28 or 30%. Don't hold me to the number. Mm-hmm. But it was like ludicrous. I mean, these people are struggling as it is right now, and they want more. And they decided, hey, this is it. We're not doing this anymore. So they got their own little revolution going on.
A little crystal ball for us.
Yeah, and it's something to pay attention to because we're not far off from that, believe me. And I'm not encouraging that.
No.
But you know what? But you're only going to push people so far.
What did Roberta just say? She's pretty well versed. She said that. So, Freddie.
And it's pretty pushy, you know, because let me tell you something. You know, like, you know, you said it, and a lot of people are saying, Gina's out. She's gone.
Yeah.
She said goodbye to this state as soon as... you know, she became the chairman of the Democratic, Governors Association.
Freddie.
Yes.
I rely on you, buddy. What's our economic forecast looking like? What's going on?
Okay, with all this swinging up and down, let me tell you, this is just one of the biggest swindling jobs that has happened in like, ever. That I've been playing the stock market, and I've been calling around to other people, and I've been calling other brokers. I said, listen, I'm putting orders in for Amazon for $1,409, and they're not filling them to $1,431. These are called the money market makers.
Right. Yep.
They represent the company. They want their stock, and then they don't want to sell it back to you when it goes to the bottom. When let's all jump in now. They're waiting, and they're waiting for it to go up even more. Myself, I say that we're going to see a little bit more bloodshed, okay? And, you know, next year, I see a flat market to maybe 1.5.
Yeah.
And it's all depending on what's going to go on with China.
Yeah.
Now we got this woman that's, you know, coming in. She's facing 30 years. And
the Chinese woman, yeah.
Yeah, you know, the corporation's saying they're making money.
Yep.
But look what GM's done. But you see what Tesla done? He wants to buy a plant, the electric car, Tesla, you know, automotive. He wants to buy a plant.
So the GDP is going to be stagnated, I think, going in.
Oh, yeah. I say that right now it's going to be stagnated. And let's face it, you're going to see Trump get impeached. And when that happens, then you're going to see civil disobedience out on the street.
Well, you know
that's
what?
They're out for him, and that's all it is to it. And I can see it happening.
I think the disciplines are, and the witch hunts, some of it valid or whatever's going on. You know we're in the transport trucking business, and it's a great economic indicator what's going on in the country. We see the load boards and stuff starting to slow up. We see fuel dropping before the holidays.
Two telltale signs.
There's a couple of telltale signs that shouldn't be happening if the economy was robust. And then yet you got the Federal Reserve deciding now that they're not going to increase interest rates and holding back. I think Freddie's right on the money here.
I'll say they'll raise rates this month. And they'll raise one more probably in February, and then they'll see what happens.
Don't worry.
Oh yeah, they'll raise them at least another half. They have to because we're way behind. We're way behind, and we just have to do it. But don't worry about nothing. We're gonna build that building on that water, and the senator and the House Speaker will be fully involved in it now.
Well, you know what's funny?
The Fain Tower?
Yeah, the Fain Tower.
Well, listen, let me say that. While Jose is tearing down the Fain Tower, he is building up Rhode Island because a national person forwarded this to me yesterday, and it came from the mayor. It said, "Dear, I have some wonderful news to share with you. Providence has been named the 2018 Gayest State Capital by Gay City. Yep. So while he may be impeding the Fane Tower, he is building.
Well,
up the,
I can see the new Fane Tower now. Yeah. It's going to have a purple sombrero on the top.
Okay,
and
rainbow.
Yeah, and a karachi band playing down the bottom, and a Taco Bell.
and don't forget the scooter stands.
Oh, and the scooter stands. Yeah. Yo Quiero. Freddie,
thanks,
buddy.
Okay,
appreciate it as always. Catch us next week.
Who do we got?
We got one quick one. I don't know if we got time. We ain't got time to take it. We're out, buddy.
We're out. Call back next week, whoever you are.
Hey, whoever it was, appreciate you calling.
Hey,
sorry.
And happy Hanukkah to our Jewish friends. It ends Monday night.
Yeah.
We will
Merry Christmas.
Back next
happy Hanukkah.
Merry Christmas. Happy
whatever
Hanukkah.
Whatever your religions may be, hope you enjoy them. Yep.
The most famous reindeer of all, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, had a very shiny nose.
WEAN-FM Wakefield Peacedale from the New England Truck Solutions Studio. This is News Talk.